Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porath here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it is that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bringing our man Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD. TD, what's going on, man? How we doing? Happy New Year to you.
Hey, yeah, what's going on, man? Happy New Year.
So, TD, this Titans team has shown an ability to bounce back after some tough performances this year. You think back to the Indy game, you come back and beat Baltimore, obviously the Cleveland game, and the next game's Jacksonville, you come back and hammer them as well. Why do you think that that's been the case with this team, that they've been able to kind of put bad performances in the rearview and bounce back so quickly? What do you credit for that with this Titans group?
Yeah, I think it's the coaching staff. It starts with them. I think it starts, obviously, with Mike Vrabel and just the approach that they have after a loss. I think it just they have the ability to dial in and just rebound. I mean, that's really the bottom line, as you said. So I give that credit to the coaching staff, but obviously the players too, because they're the ones out there executing, and they just have a way of doing that really well.
So TD, what can this defense realistically get done in this game?
Yeah. I think the big thing, what they can get is just another take advantage of another opportunity to go against a quarterback that can extend plays and that will always keep it alive and make plays down the field. So the defensive backs, they get a chance to plaster, right? And, I mean, if they play the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, those are going to be things that they have to do. And you know, the Dolphins, too, because Tua can extend plays, too. And when you're going against quarterbacks like that, you have to understand that you have to plaster, and sometimes you're going to be asked to cover a little bit longer. So I think it's a good opportunity for them to be able to, you know, get another look at a quarterback that, and maybe one of the best quarterbacks at extending plays and making things happen. Because that poor fellow, he has no choice but to do that because of the deficiencies up front. So, hey, maybe this is a week where that Titans defense gets a sack. I don't know if you saw some of the things that I've posted recently, but they're on pace to have the fewest sacks of any playoff team in NFL history. Right now they have 15, the fewest sacks right at this point by a playoff team was the 1979 Broncos, who had 19.
Yeah, pretty incredible numbers you threw out there the other day, especially corresponding to the records that most of the teams that finish with 13 and 14 and 15 sacks have. It's a credit to the offense that they've been as good as they've been this year, TD. And speaking of the offense, I want to talk about A.J. Brown. I mean, obviously he's still out there playing and still very difficult to bring down, and I think Kevin King found that out firsthand the other night against the Packers when he tried to go high on A.J. Brown. But it seems like at least once a game the last few weeks, he takes a hit low, takes a hit around the ankle, and he gets up and he's limping and he's obviously battling through some pain there. How banged up do you think A.J. Brown is right now?
Yeah, I'm certain that ankle is something that hurts. And I mean, can you imagine being out there in the cold with that too? Because the cold weather just has a way of making your injuries or anything. Like in our case, you know, we're older guys, so you know, it has a way of making that arthritis, you know, flare up. So I get it, man, and it's definitely tough. But you know, to his credit, he's going out there and he's still playing every week. And I really like the way they're finding ways to get him the football and just take advantage of the yards after the catch. But you could definitely tell that he's banged up, because, like you said, at least one time a game he tweaks it. You know, and you see him kind of limp off the field. Right. Well, first he'll try to jog back to the huddle, then he'll limp off the field because Rob Moore is sending somebody else in to take his place. So, yeah, you're right, man. It's tough. But at this point, everybody is banged up to a degree. So he just is kind of, you know, in the club, so to speak.
The offensive performance against the Packers, TD. I mean, how much do you take any of that forward, or you just flush that one, including Tannehill? You know, forcing some passes that he doesn't usually do to that extent.
I think that's what you take forward, right? You take those mistakes that the critical ones that he made, throwing the football away, like trying to play hero football. That's uncharacteristic of Ryan Tannehill, and that has typically been a good part of his game. And I remember asking Pat O'Hara, the QB coach, about, you know, Tannehill being able to, you know, mature in that aspect of his game. And that was what he said, you know, realizing when the journey's over. So that's something that he has to be able to bring forward. I think just the everything else is like, hey, man, just flush it, man. Like, we got to put that one away. We just faced the team. I'm saying we like as if they're saying it, that, you know, we got to flush that one away. We faced a team that was just more physical on both sides of the football in the trenches. And anytime that happens, that result that you saw is what you get. So just put it behind them. One of the things I like that Mike Vrabel said was you rarely get a second chance to win your 11th game and to secure a division title. I think that's what they have to look at, a second chance right here going against the Texans to win the AFC South title. They haven't won it in so long, 2008. So it's an opportunity for them to go out and kind of right the wrong that happened on Sunday Night Football in front of a national audience.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, TD, Derrick Henry, 223 yards away from 2,000. Obviously, that's a pretty big number heading into this final game, but not out of reach for him. Can he do it? What do you think his chances are to get there on Sunday against a Texans defense that has struggled against the run all season long?
I think his chances are definitely, I'm not going to say good, but they're decent. And it really just depends on how he could break off a long run, because you know what happens. Like, that guy break off a 70-yard run, then he'll come back a little bit later and break off a 50-yard run. And right there, you're more than halfway. So that's, I think, going to be the key, in my opinion. Not continuously giving him the football, but finding ways to get him in that alley and hit that home run that he's become accustomed to doing. And, I mean, you look the last two times, what was it, 211 yards earlier this year and 213. In the season finale last year, right? And that was the one where he sealed the deal to get the rushing title. And here he is now, you know, back-to-back rushing titles. Dalvin Cook, you know, his unfortunate circumstances keeping him from being able to play, family things he has to handle. And I think Henry could definitely, if anybody has a shot at it, he does. I'll put it that way.
T, do you think this J.J. Watt, a lot of attention on this J.J. Watt rant, if you will, you think there's any impact on this game from that?
I don't think so. Yeah, I talked to Chris Sanders yesterday for talking with T.D., and he made an excellent point. You know, you work hard all your life to get to this level, and – you don't need somebody to tell you that you got to work harder. You shouldn't need somebody to tell you that you have to work harder and that you're not putting in enough work, because if that's the case, then you probably shouldn't be at that level, you know? So I don't think that it's going to necessarily make anybody go into practice and work harder or be in the weight room and say, you know what J.J. Watt said, well, that rant he went on, you know, we're playing a kid's game and getting paid a lot of money and all of that stuff. I need to get an extra rep. Nah, I don't think so.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD, Teron Davenport has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. TD, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Yeah, for sure, man. How do you guys like my morning Barry White voice?
It's awesome.
It's so
it cool. Is rich and milky.
There you go.
TD, appreciate you, my man. We'll talk to you in 2021.
Happy New Year.
Hey, you as well.
Sir. Happy New Year, brother. Right.
I tell you what, one of the best in the business, Teron Davenport, and it is interesting, like the varying opinions on J.J. Watt and his rant that he went on. Like, Diana Russini, with the tweet she sent out the other day, was acting like this is going to be some galvanizing force for the Texans. They're going to come out and play the best game of the year. I tend to think that, you know, I love the rant. I like, obviously, everything J.J. Watt said there. At the end of the day, the Texans, just to me, don't have enough talent on the defensive side of the ball to really hang with this Titans offense. So I don't know how much of an impact it's going to have, but it is interesting, Joe, to see the different perspectives on that rant.
Yeah, like I think Diana Russini's overstating it. I don't think all of a sudden it's going to be like this transformed team. I would say, you know, I could see like a couple dudes in that building and be like, yeah, okay, well, let's pick it up. Because it felt to me like maybe there was a couple dudes who were that was targeted for, you know? Yeah. And maybe just a gentleman. I mean, how could a team, especially this year, not be sort of enough of this season, right? So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a little bit of a kick in the butt to some people with that. But, yeah, the idea that, like, all of a sudden the Titans are going to be walking into the Lions' den because of what J.J. Watt said. I mean, I think the best part about it was acknowledging, you know, that you are playing for fans. And that's just one of those things. I think that speech should be broadcast to everyone in professional sports.
Yeah, and we'll continue to talk about that Titans and Texans matchup for the rest of the hour here on Robbie and Rex Road. And you can hear Mike Vrabel, Titans head coach, meeting with the media today at 11 o'clock on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren Donick and Chase will have that for you live in our live press conferences on ESPN 102.5 The Game are sponsored by Dunkin', featuring their new location on Harding Pike in Belle Meade. When we come back, we'll dive into this topic. Is there anything that can happen on Sunday with this Titans team that makes us feel better about the Titans heading into the playoffs? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the big matchup, Week 17, Titans and Texans, the AFC South on the line. Titans have a chance to win the division for the first time since 2008. And a win, Joe, would move them to 11-5 on the season. And a lot to like offensively. Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and company have led one of the best offenses in the NFL throughout the entire season. But we've talked about it all season long here on the show. The defense is terrible. It's been terrible the whole time. And I just wonder, if the Titans win this game on Sunday and they lock up their berth to the playoffs this year, is there anything that can happen specifically in this game with this defense that makes you feel any better about this team heading into the playoffs? Or is right now, it's just a lost cause. It is what it is. Even if they have a good day defensively on Sunday, you still are really nervous if you're a Titans fan heading into the playoffs.
I mean, I guess it's, you know, if you – obviously if you had some, like, tremendous defensive performance, you get six sacks and you hold them to 10 points and you get three picks, you know. I mean, look, you feel better. But I think even something like that, it's kind of like the Titans' offensive performance in Green Bay. I'm like, eh, flush that. That's not what they are. We know what they are, right? I mean, I think we know what this defense is too. I would say that if, you know, like a guy like Derek Roberson, for example, he's someone who, and of course he's hurt and not sure. He didn't practice yesterday, not sure on his status. I mean, right now I would guess he wouldn't play. But there's an example of someone who, you know, I thought, okay, look, maybe he can find something and be a guy who gets you like – a handful of sacks in the second half of the season, or even, you know, get you a couple big ones in the postseason. That's to me what it is. Like, is there an individual player who can emerge? Now we know some guys who haven't played as well as they should, you know, as we expected this year, like Rashawn Evans, Kevin Byard, you know, but I think of guys like look, Wyatt Ray, it's funny because you think about this incredible sack number and how bad it is. And like TD just said, like, this will be the lowest for a playoff team. It's right now less than half of the franchise low in history. You know, like the one sack they had Sunday that flipped the game to the extent that the Titans scored and they scored again. And a game that was about to be 26-0 was all of a sudden 19-14, you know, one sack can do that. They don't beat the Ravens, I don't think, if Harold Landry doesn't have the one sack on Lamar Jackson in overtime. So to me, it's, can someone emerge and show a little bit of ability to beat a single blocker and put a quarterback to the ground? I mean, so who would that be? I don't know. I mean, we know that Landry can do it sometimes, but I think it's got to be somebody different.
Yeah, I mean, I just put this question out on Twitter. Our good friend Austin Stanley from A to Z Sports said, would like to see Landry break through, Rashawn Evans play very well, Adoree bounce back, and a couple of effort sacks. Rashawn Evans, to me, that's the guy defensively that I'm looking at this week. You had, I think, really an invisible week last week defensively on just the normal between-the-whistles play, and then he just keeps costing you at times with some boneheaded decisions. I need to see Rashawn Evans play well, not just on the goal line where he turns into a human missile. You need to see a really impact game from Rashawn Evans at some point. I'm really looking heavily in that direction on Sunday. You need a better game out of 54 heading into the playoffs.
Well, I'm looking at Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, early in the year, a lot more. I noticed him. Now, I think he's probably banged up just like everybody, you know. Everybody talks about the 100% injury rate. Everybody's got something, and it's probably a factor. But I think of last year, I think one of the things that happened in the postseason, a lot of the regular season last year, it was pretty obvious. You know, you could see that Jarrell Casey, he was slowing down a little bit. He wasn't the same player. I thought like 2016, 17, I think he was one of the most underrated defensive players in the NFL. Like, people didn't talk about him, but he was a force. And he wasn't last year, but then in the playoffs, I mean, what did he have, 2.5 sacks? He made big-time plays in those games. And that's what you're looking for from Jeffrey Simmons right now. I mean, go make a couple big plays Sunday that lead to stops or turnovers and give your offense extra possessions, which should be enough to win the game.
At things_ninja on Twitter says, protect Tannehill. Kelly and Quisenberry have both been losing steam in pass protections. Green Bay's big edge rushers really overpowered them. This team needs the offense on all cylinders for the playoffs. You've got to protect Tannehill at all costs. You do need to see, I think, a bounce-back day for pass protection on Sunday. Now, the good news is, even though J.J. Watt's on the other side and he can wreak some havoc, the Titans found that out firsthand earlier this season. As a whole, I don't think you're as worried about the pass rushing from Houston, and with how vulnerable they are to the run, I think you can use that to your advantage if you're the Titans too. But, I mean, to his point, you've got to see a bounce-back week from the offensive line. That's going to be critical heading into the playoffs if the Titans are going to have any sort of success.
No, that's a great point. And, yes, at times they just flat-out got beat, overpowered, all that. There was also at least one sack that was something we don't see a ton, and that's just a flat-out blown cover, blown protection, yeah. Miscommunication too. You got to clean that stuff up. But I agree. I mean, that's the one part of this offense that you wonder about, you know, and it's very matchup dependent, like you said. But that's the one thing that can derail it, and that has at times derailed it this year and affected Tannehill enough to take him a little bit off his game.
Steven on Twitter says it has to be the pass rush, multiple sacks, and quarterback hurry / knockdowns to make you feel better. I hear that. I just, at this point, Joe, to me, it's not realistic. Like, it's just not going to happen. TD threw it out there in the last segment. They've got 15 sacks as a whole, and the 79 Broncos, the only playoff team worse or better than that so far that the Titans are chasing with 19 sacks. The Titans have a chance to become the first playoff team to have 15 sacks in a season, which is, again, a testament to how awesome this offense has been and just the state of the league right now. But to me, like, I hear what people are saying about you need to see them put some pressure on Watson and need to see, you know, them kind of corral him and hold him down. But just based on what I've seen through 15 games at this point, it's just not realistic to me anymore. Like, even if they get a couple of sacks on Sunday, I'm not going to feel all that much better about this defense heading into the playoffs.
That's right, and that's the difference. Now, I think if they get them, you know, Daquan Jones, make a play, you know, Simmons, make a play, Landry, you know, that can help you win the game, win the division, and so great. But, yeah, like, I just can't imagine there's anything that we're going to see on the defense that makes you think way differently about what the postseason is going to be. Like, you know, it's going to be – try to sneak in some stops and be great on offense. That's your ticket.
I want to see Adoree Jackson have at least a step in the right direction from his first couple games.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams makes almost any corner in the league look bad, but yeah. Adoree looked especially bad Sunday night in Green Bay. We all know how important he is, especially with how that secondary has fared all season long. I want to see Adoree Jackson at least make a few plays that make you feel like he might go into the playoffs with some confidence.
I totally agree with that. And I want Desmond King to play better too.
Yeah.
I mean, like, again, this is on paper. It's a pretty good secondary. You got Vaccaro back now. You have Vaccaro and Byard. You go Butler, King, Jackson across the board. You know, if you're playing elite guys, they don't have anyone who, you know, can go over and match up with someone and shut that person down. But a lot of matchups, they should be able to hold coverage, be aggressive, and allow for some extra people being sent at the quarterback, which is really the only way that you can expect them to get any kind of pressure. And even that, you don't know. But that's where I agree. Have a bounce back game for Adoree. You know, you want him to look like Adoree Jackson at his best. And then you want that to have some kind of a positive effect on the coordination of the defense and trying to manufacture pressure. I mean, again, 43 sacks last year with largely the same personnel, 15 sacks this year.
That's the one hope they have, right? Like, you've got Butler in there fully healthy. Adoree gets back up to his top level quickly. And then Byard starts to play better, which I think he has in the last couple weeks. And then Vaccaro back in there as well. Like, that's the one hope that this Titans defense has, is maybe a top level Adoree Jackson helps you cover just a little bit longer. Maybe you're able to affect the quarterback a little differently with that regard. But other than that, like, I think that's the last thing that you're hanging your hat on if you're a Titans fan with this defense right now. And even that, I'm not sure how much that's going to help, given just how bad this pass rush is.
Right. I mean, it's just, yeah, look, any kind of positive sign. I mean, I do think back to the Indy game. They were banged up. By the way, you know, Costanzo's out, period, for them. So that's a hit to them,
yeah.
You know, if they get in the playoffs. But, I mean, that game is probably the best example to me of still a good offense. And we saw a difference in approach. I mean, we saw from the first game to the second meeting, we saw a change, and it was a positive change. And of course, in that game, Breon Borders, you know, was a guy who was playing well. I mean, you should feel better about doing any of that stuff with Adoree Jackson instead of Breon Borders on the field. But that was one of those, again, it's brief. There aren't a lot of examples to point to. You know, nice stretches for this defense of being aggressive and it paying off and working. And of course, again, if we're just talking about this matchup and probably other matchups in the playoffs, that's also the difference between playing Phillip Rivers and a Deshaun Watson.
So if the Titans get it done on Sunday, if they win the division for the first time since 2008, where does this regular season rank in terms of overall seasons in Titans history? We'll debate that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happen Harry's draft beers, plus Happen Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 1 to 3 p.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Houston Texans. The NFL pregame show features Jarrett Stillman and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plants, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Corner Pub locations will be following social distancing and safety guidelines, so make sure you keep that in mind. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looking ahead to the matchup between the Titans and the Texans on Sunday, we're talking in the last segment about what you need to see to feel better about this Titans team potentially heading into the playoff. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill texts in and says, I'm looking for Fulton to get some time to get his feet wet before the postseason. The lack of speed in the slot has killed us all year, and if we have a guy that with some wheels out there to put him out there, it can't hurt, even if it's not going to massively elevate the defense. Joe, Christian Fulton, obviously he's been injured, has not been active as of late. Do you think there's a chance he gets in there on Sunday? If so, what would you need to see from Christian Fulton? What do you think he could add to the defense if he is there?
I mean, he was a healthy scratch last week.
Yeah.
So I just don't think that's a realistic expectation right now. They traded for Desmond King. And I agree that the idea that, you know, Fulton's speed could help. Yeah, I mean, I would think so. It would be a good sign for him to be active. I just don't know how much you're going to see of him. you know, unless there's an issue with somebody else or whatever. I mean, it's, I think all the time he missed, injuries, and again, the fact that they got King just puts him in a position of really just a support depth guy right now. He's certainly going to be an important guy moving forward, and especially, you know, tough choices ahead, maybe at corner as well. I mean, we don't know about, I'm not 100% sure Butler and King are on this team next year. You know, Butler's in under contract. King isn't. Both could be, both could not be. And that would mean Christian Fulton, you are in a massive role in year two. I just don't know right now. I mean, you're not putting him out there right now to like work on stuff. Like, you have to find a way to win this game.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden text in. You guys were talking about Adoree Jackson giving us a few more seconds of coverage to help our pass rush. Aaron Rodgers had 6 seconds to throw the ball on multiple plays on Sunday night. We just can't get to the quarterback. I don't know if Adoree's going to help all that much.
Yes.
Fair point.
I mean, look, Adoree, listen, can you just hold your coverage for 14 and a half seconds? Come on. That's all you got to do. Run with Devontae. You know, I'm sure a lot of people have probably seen the Adams touchdown when he was doubled.
Right.
I think that was Butler, and I don't remember who else, but you know, they were just bracketing him and then he just turns the other way and it's like they went to make a snow angel or something. But you know, but the bottom line is right there on that play, Aaron Rodgers is standing alone and there's more than 5 yards between him and another human when he makes the pass. So yeah, it's a limited, I mean, look, we have seen this year in some games where the Titans are playing off and they are just playing to not give up the big play and there's no rush and it's dink, 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 as we've talked about. Yes. And that is frustrating. At least take, I mean, look, you don't want to give up big shots. I get it. But I would think at least this secondary would give Mike Vrabel, Shane Bowen, whoever, the confidence to take some more chances. And at least on some of those quick hitter plays, you can hold your coverage 2-3 seconds, you know, and have a chance to get a PBU, get a stop, get an incompletion.
But remember, Joe, it's not dink, dink, dink. It's dink, 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 dink,
yes.
Dink.
Yes.
Good point. You got to have the dink, dink, dink. Got to have the pause.
It's like the slow death dink.
Exactly.
It's like the faucet. You know, it's like the faucet that's broken.
The slow drip.
That slow drip, and it's just driving you crazy.
You know, you bring up something there that has started to drive me nuts about this Titans defense of not being, you know, you're afraid, just terrified to give up the big play. Like, so far this season, the alternative has been just getting absolutely torn apart for 10 plays on a drive and allowing a touchdown anyway. I'm almost at the point where this defense where I'm like, you know what? Just sell out, and if you give up the big play, at least your offense gets the ball back and you can tire out their other team's defense at this point, because it doesn't matter either way. They're scoring regardless, whichever way you want to cut it. The other team is finishing the drive with the ball in the end zone. Just drives me nuts.
It didn't work well against the Browns.
It did not.
Yes. But I hear what you're saying. You know, it's like, hey, at least now fans can watch the side of the ball that they want to watch and not the side of the ball that they can't stand looking at, you know? Just give up the TD right away.
And again, it is amazing. They've got a chance to get to 11-5 on Sunday and win the division for the first time since 08. So if they're able to do that, like if they go out on Sunday and win and they beat the Texans, they win the division, they finish 11-5, we've talked about it. They've only won the division 3 times since they became the Titans. This would be the fourth. Where would this season rank in terms of accomplishments for this franchise, just based on the fact that you've got one side of the ball that has been so dominant and so good and so much fun to watch, and then you've got basically the complete opposite situation on the other side of the ball? Like, I get it. This story is still unwritten. If the Titans finish 11-5, they win the division, you've got the playoffs to go through. But in terms of just regular season accomplishments, where would this team rank in your opinion?
That's a really good question. I think that, yeah, like you said, I mean, the story is yet to be written. What do they do in the postseason? And even like next season, I think what this season has a chance to be remembered for is the one year the Titans, you know, were so bad on defense that they stymied the greatest offense in franchise history. Like, even next year, you know, if they're able to make moves in the offseason to get this defense back to respectable, you know, then this will be the one this will be the outlier because they've been solid for several years before this. This is a solid to at times very good defense in 16, 17, 18, 19. So a lot of it is what comes next, of course, but this might end up being like that outlier year where, you know, again, you throw 20 plus million at two guys who give you nothing and, you know, the draft gives you nothing. And it's just like, and then some guys, their performance dips, you lose DMPs, all these things happen. And it's just bad. You couldn't have guessed it would be this bad. And then you quickly can get it back. I think they could quickly get it back to at least decent if they make good moves in the offseason. So that's what it might be remembered for is, you know, this historic offense that was just betrayed. Now, what you also hope is that next year they could still have an offense that good or close to that good. And then you might have a team with a better chance at a run.
Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting. Like, you think back to 99 and 2000. I mean, the offense in those years was good. I'm not going to sit here and say that those offenses were dominant. But defensively, I mean, they were really good back in those days. Yeah. They won games and just suffocated the other teams. Like in 08, they had a pretty good defense that year. And you had Kerry Collins at the helm, Chris Johnson. You had weapons offensively, but it's not like they had this elite offense. But they're just solid on both sides of the ball. This team is just so much different from anything that we've ever seen that the Titans have had, especially when they've been able to win and have some success, that I think it's kind of in its own category in the history of the Titans. Like, you look at it, they got a great chance of winning this weekend, I think, and finishing 11-5. But the feeling around this team heading into the playoffs is so strange because on one hand, you feel so good about the offense that you think you can hang in there with anybody. And on the other, you feel so bad about the defense that you're halfway expecting to just get killed by no matter who you play in the first round of the playoffs. I've never seen anything, especially in the history of this city and this franchise, quite like this heading into what could be a wild card weekend of playoffs. And I think that has affected the excitement level of the fans to some degree as well.
But I would still ask this question of a Titans fan. Would you rather be going into a postseason thinking, well, gosh, if we can just score like 21, 24, you know, like our D is going to hold it down, but can we put together some touchdown drives? Or would you rather say, hey, you know what, we might need to score 40, but we can score 40. I still think this is better. Like, I would still choose this as a fan 100 times out of 100 because it's at least entertaining football. And let's also keep in mind, like, the Titans are going to, you know, for example, they're going to set the NFL record, worst third down defense ever.
Yeah.
Now, the stats only been kept for 30 years, but it's the worst on record third down defense. Also, there's three other teams that could set the record with them and just not quite be as bad as them. I mean, this is where the league is too. Now, we're heading toward more teams who make playoff runs. We talked some about that yesterday with bad defensive numbers. So offense is more important, period. And so it's better to be good on that side than the other side from a lot of reasons. It's just that you can't be this bad.
I hear you, Joe, but I'll also say even in 08, even if Kerry Collins was the quarterback, the fact that they were the number one seed in the AFC, they started 10-0. There was a magical feeling about that team for a lot of the season. They beat the Steelers in week 16 at home in a huge heavyweight showdown to get that number one seed. That 08 regular season felt probably a little bit more special than what this one has felt, which has been weird because it's 2020. You start 5-0 and you've had a couple clunkers along the way. But at least that 08 team was, to Robbie's point, solid enough on both sides of the football with a lot of confidence going into the playoffs. It didn't work out, but it did feel like that team could win a Super Bowl. Where this team, because of the defense, it drags it down to a point in my mind where that doesn't feel realistic.
So if you compared the magicalness of the entirety of 2008 and the entirety of last season, which ranks higher?
Well, without the playoff run, if we're just talking about regular seasons, I would say...
Oh, no. I'm talking playoff run. I'm talking entirety.
Well, last season because of the playoff run.
Right, like you got to be in the first round in 08. So
I'm talking strictly regular season, and that's the topic at hand. Of
sure,
the
sure.
Regular, like, where would this regular season rank? That 08 regular season was so much fun. Chris Johnson was a rookie that year. You had smash and dash. You had this defense that could suffocate teams at times, and you still felt like that team could win a Super Bowl, where this one, yes, the offense is fun, but the defense is the opposite of fun right now. And it just,
and if this, sorry, if this, and if last year's defense was just this year's defense, what would they be? They'd probably be.
Oh, I'd say they.
Shoot, they might be. They might be. You know, I don't know about the one, but they'd probably be the two.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They'd be like 13-2
fair.
Right now.
Totally fair. Yeah.
And that's, I think, adds to the frustration,
yes,
of this season.
It does.
That you're, you know, 10 months removed, 11 months removed from a defense that was actually, I mean, it wasn't great, but it was at least good. And the funny part is, like we were talking about after the AFC title game last year, man, if only that defense could take the next step and get a pass rush. They had 43 sacks last year. They got 15 this year. Just imagine what we would do right now if you're a Titans fan, to just take last year's defense and take your chances heading into the playoffs this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and that's, that is, I mean, look, from that perspective, it's tough. I still think there's, you know, there, obviously chapters to be written, and that this offense might be good enough to have multiple wins before this team season is over.
When we come back, we'll continue this discussion looking ahead to the Titans and the Texans on Sunday. Got a lot of your texts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you've got a thought on the Titans potentially heading into the playoffs, that's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
From the 47, I formation. Snap, turn left, give to Henry. Has a hole, steers his way right across midfield to the 40. He's to the 30. It's a foot race to the end zone. He's to the 20, to the 10, 5, up the right sideline into the end zone. Touchdown, Derrick Henry. 53 yards, a 200-yard game, three touchdowns on the ground, and that seals the deal. The Tennessee Titans are going to head to the playoffs.
That was Derrick Henry, a big game last year in Houston to propel the Titans into the playoffs, and the Titans hoping for a repeat performance on Sunday to win the division for the first time since 2008. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Thursday morning. The last show for 2020, 2021 comes our way tomorrow, and we were talking about just where this would rank if the Titans are able to take care of business on Sunday, go 11-5, win the division for the first time since 2008. What sort of an accomplishment is this? Where does it rank in terms of the history of this franchise? Ryan Porth, you were talking about the 08 team, just how magical that season felt.
Yep.
It truly was, you know, especially the start of the season when you're 10-0, you felt like you really had something going with that Titans team.
Well, and just to kind of further the point of how I think that 08 season is still going to end up being more special slash magical than this one that we're watching right now, even if the Titans win on Sunday, is when the Titans lost to the Ravens, that was pure heartbreak as a Titans fan. Like, everyone expected that team to go to the Super Bowl. They, especially after they beat the Steelers the way they did, they smacked them around here. Yep. They stomped on the terrible towel. There was a ton of mojo. 13-3, number one seed. And it was pure heartbreak when they lost that game in the fashion that they did against the Ravens. And with this Titans team, knowing the deficiencies that they have, if they were to get bounced in the wild card weekend or even divisional round against whomever because of the defense, I'm not going to feel heartbreak. It's going to be more being ticked off about how they let the offense kind of get wasted and not capitalize on the greatest offense in team history and take it to a Super Bowl run. I'm not going to feel the same heartbreak because there's not the expectation of going to the Super Bowl because of how bad this defense is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's kind of that preset expectation going into the playoffs where in 08, and it's kind of hard to describe if any listeners out there have moved to Nashville in the last 5 years, and there's a lot of them out there,
oh, yeah,
and didn't live through that 08 season and what this town was feeling like, the buzz that this town felt. You know, I remember going to the Preds game. The Preds played the night of the divisional game against the Ravens.
Yep.
And even in the arena for the Preds game, there was just this kind of somber mood because an hour before that puck dropped, the Titan season had come to an end and the magical year was over. That magic ride was over. So I would still put 08 above 2020. I would put the first two seasons above 2020. Even 02 and 03, Steve McNair's co-MVP season, there was one year where they started 1-4 and won like, I don't know, 10 of the last 11 games and ended up, I think that was the year they ended up in the AFC Championship. But there have been some better, well-rounded teams where they gave you a better feeling going into the playoffs of perhaps being a Super Bowl contender than what this Titans team has left with us in the last 10 games. I mean, they're 5-5 in the last 10 games.
But there haven't been any better offenses in the history of this Titans team. And that's part of what adds to this season and the magic of it, Joe, I think, is Derrick Henry's pursuit of 2,000 yards. You have Ryan Tannehill, albeit an outside chance at this point, but still a chance to get 4,000 yards. You've got a chance on Sunday for A.J. Brown and Corey Davis to get 1,000 yards. Like, the ability of this offense to score and to be entertaining and to drive the ball down the field, that's got to add to the magic of this team. That really is the magic of this team, is this offense.
Right. You want some level of balance. Again, it's more important to be good here, and it's a tremendously fun offense to watch. Again, Derrick Henry, it's going to have to be multiple years from here, but we may be looking at a Hall of Famer right now at running back. You know, if he has an extended run. Ryan Tannehill, arguably the best quarterbacking the Titans have ever had. Again, I know a lot of people would argue with that. I think it's a good debate, but as far as efficiency and production, it's really not debatable. The receivers, I mean, A.J. Brown, obviously this franchise so long has waited for a great receiver. You know, Derek Mason was the one who obviously stands out from the past, but I mean, A.J. Brown, they tried so many different guys over the years, and he is. I mean, I think he's got a chance to be great. So all that stuff is exciting, and it is there is magic to it. There's been magic to it all year, but to Porter's point, 5-5 and some just horrific, not a lot, but just, you know, like that half against Cleveland. You're like, is this a professional football team?
Yeah.
And that's where it's harder to feel confident about what this team can do. I'm not ruling anything out. I still think the ceiling is pretty high, you know, because you're not asking for domination on defense. You're asking for competence. Just a question of whether they can find any of it.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our friend Gover texts in and says, how many times have we referred to the Preds in their Stanley Cup window? Doesn't the Titans Super Bowl window correspond with Derrick Henry? If so, how much longer can he be at his peak? One more year? They don't have time to wait on a defense. I think certainly that adds to, I think, the frustration and the anxiety level of Titans fans heading into this playoffs. All right, how much longer is this offense going to look like this? How much longer is Derrick Henry going to be able to run at this level? How much longer is Arthur Smith going to be a part of the fold here in Nashville? That, to me, is a great point by Gover. I mean, you got to wonder if you're the offense, how much longer are you going to be able to operate like this? And if your defense is this bad this year, is this ruining your best chance at a Super Bowl, given how elite this offense has become?
Well, and I think the window is Henry and Tannehill. But obviously quarterbacks, Tannehill is actually relatively young compared with some of the top guys in this league still. So you figure, you know, he's got a little bit longer time. But I don't know. I'm not certain that Derrick Henry isn't going to be one of those guys who is just different, who is an outlier at this point, you know, with a long career.
Yeah.
I mean, a 1,300, 1,400-yard Derrick Henry 3 years from now, that's possible, and that could still be pretty good. I would agree that at this level, how much can you really count on it? But also, like, how much do you – I mean, you make a couple good moves, and I think you could be – back to decent. I mean, you have to affect the quarterback. You have to find a way to affect the quarterback and find people who can do it. That's one of the most premium things in this league is pure pass rushers who can line up and beat an offensive tackle and get to the quarterback. But it's also, I don't think it's like some you know, it's not like searching for the Holy Grail this offseason. You got to make some good choices and bring that in. And then if you do, then I think you've got a chance to be special overall. Now, of course, we're already talking about next year, you know, but I don't think this window, I think it is short. It's always short, really, in this league. But I also don't think it's like this impossible mission to get done what you need done to fix some things next year.
Corey Curtis of News 2 texted me just a couple minutes ago saying, in the comparison between 08 and 2020, saying that Titans team back in 08 was the one seed most of the season. They had their playoff spot clinched weeks in advance, and this team, if the doomsday scenario happens on Sunday, could still miss the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I mean, it's a great point. I mean, I think it would be shocking to me if the Titans come down here. I don't know if shocking is the right word. I would be surprised if the Titans don't get things done on Sunday just based on the success I think their offense can have in this game. But you're right. I mean, that scenario still on the table. And can you imagine what our show is going to be like on Monday if the Titans go down to Houston and they lose and things fall into order where they're the odd man out, they're sitting there out of the playoffs? It's going to be one heck of a show on Monday if that's the case.
Yeah, that would be something. You know, outside looking in from that 08 team, and you know, like you said, Porter, the city, and you beat the Steelers in that game, I had doubts about that team because of Collins. And because down the stretch they didn't look as strong. You know, you go back 8 years earlier, I mean, I thought that team was winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I still think that, like, that is the one that was the biggest squandered opportunity realistically compared to the other teams around the league.
And look, the 08 offense reared its ugly head against Baltimore with Collins as your quarterback, with Justin Gage as your number one receiver. I mean, Algie Crumpler and Bo Scaife at tight end. I mean,
it also didn't help that Baltimore tried to literally twist off Chris Johnson's leg in that game.
Yes, yeah. That did not help. Lendell White, I think, fumbled in that game. Collins threw a pick. Crumpler fumbled. I mean, it was just a comedy of errors throughout that game. There's no doubt that they had a little bit of smoke and mirrors going on offense with that team. But to the point of how this offense, we've never seen it before. We had never seen a running back like Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, we were used to Eddie George and then the small phase of Chris Brown or Travis Henry. And then Chris Johnson comes in and is a highlight reel waiting to happen. I mean, that added to some of that magic in 08.
Yeah, yeah. I still remember, like, the Steelers game you brought up, like the pitch they gave him, and he shook, I think, Troy Polamalu on the play.
Fourth, like, and one.
Just amazing. So, yeah, I mean, great. To me, I think it's behind 08. I think it's certainly behind 99 and 2000 just because the defense is what it is. And hopefully, if you're the Titans, we're able to continue to have this conversation on Monday because that means you've won the game and you've won the division for the first time since 2008. So we'll continue to talk about that, hopefully, throughout the weekend if the Titans win coming up on Monday and they're 11-5 heading into the playoffs. When we come back, we will switch gears, dive into the latest on the Tennessee Volunteers. How stable a ground is Jeremy Pruitt on right now? What's going on with the transfers in the program? We'll get into the college football playoff as well. Our friend David Ubben from The Athletic joins us. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No